This is Ewan Spence calling, coming to you for the final breakfast show from the Dusseldorf Arena. That means guitars. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome. Yes, Ewan Spence here in Dusseldorf. It's tonight. It is. The Eurovision Song Contest for 2011. It's the grand final. We've already lost 18 countries. We're going to lose another 24 tonight. One of them will be left standing and will claim the prize of a huge, massive hole in our national budget for next year. Unless they ask the French nicely to host it, and the French will say something in French that nobody understands and will end up in the best seat anyway. To preview of the grand final, we're going to run through the 25 songs in running order, see if we can pick out any theme to anything that's going to happen. And as always, I have a wonderful and illustrious panel of guests joining me. They know lots about Eurovision, they've been at multiple contests, and they are going to be able to pick out a surefire winner. Who laughed? Who laughed? Chris, you laughed, didn't you?
That was me. All of us, wasn't it?
I think so, yes, but Chris was the one that did it down the microphone, so he's getting pissed on. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, it's nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Chris Higgins. I'm here for Attitude Magazine, writing stuff for the website. This is my 10th Eurovision as an accredited journalist. I did eight times before that.
So were you the person that took the shots of blue?
No, sadly I wasn't involved.
Have you seen the rest of the negatives?
No, but I imagine there are some unpublished pictures out there. I would like to go.
I was very fed up about that. No one asked me if they could use my body.
That's one afterwards.
And you can have a guess at what that next one is. John Kennedy wants to do. John Kennedy O'Connor joins us as well on the podcast.
Good morning, Ewan.
The man who is a running joke in a no points quiz. Well, we have a standing rule that says if you quote from your book, you get minus points. Well, it would be a bit of a problem if you ever entered the quiz.
It would actually, because I haven't read it for about 5 years, I think I'd be okay. I don't think I'd be able to quote from it.
Actually, I think I did ask you back in March, would you like to be on the quiz? And you said, oh no, because I can only go back about 10 years and then I forget everything.
No, I can only go back before the last 10 years. I can tell you anything from 1972, but don't ask me what happened last year because I haven't got a clue.
We'll hold him to that later. And also, returning, the only returnee. The grand old man of the morning breakfast show, is by the sounds of it, Dean Wells.
Less of the grand old man, if you don't mind.
Okay, it's the dirty old man of the breakfast show.
Well, yes, I am the Andrew Lemon, not here, only here, but around the press working area. I think I've only found one or two people that are actually older than me here. But nonetheless, with that age comes experience, so hopefully we can put it to good use this morning.
I see, we only have two microphones and three panels. You have to share it, John.
Are you as old as 2011?
I'm not, but there isn't much of a gap between us.
You're looking at it.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's getting in there, John.
And I'd like to think you know what country you're in when you get up on the stage.
Yes.
But I don't have a lovely shiny.
Lots of flippant comments. I've seen evidence.
No, I just said, you're going to be good this morning. I like this. Essentially, these were the only three people awake in the press room this morning after the late night shenanigans on the Eurobot. You can probably check Elaine Duff's Facebook for all the incriminating pictures knowing Elaine. I honestly haven't actually dared to go in there. They have Nicky French there, who's, of course, the 100 books juries, most of the British crowd, lots of tickets, lots of fans, and I'm sure that a jolly time was had by all the people who aren't at this panel this morning.
And the man who sang that sanitary towel song for Croatia.
Indeed, yes, but it will go nicely with the Swiss song, which you do get the feeling is for a feminine product. I can't help you not hearing that song in the air. Do you have problems with heavy flow? Let's run with the running order. 25 countries. It's an interesting opening. John, let's take you for this one. Because this is great. We now have witty panellists in my head. Yeah? Controversial panellist and Stato. So, John, running position number one is Finland. When was the last time somebody won from position one?
1984.
And it was?
It was Diggy Lou, Diggy Lay by Harry Hayes.
Don't forget to say it.
And
Richard
and the original titles.
No. saw in 83.
Well, there are some young hamsters. You are so good at this.
You are absolutely right.
Central Grand Hamster.
I'm a 31 and the
Is that the only time you ever had
as well?
That's what you're now. That's what you're now.
There's a really good book out about this.
There is. So if you've got it in 1974, then we can check this right now.
74, I'm not sure. Was it that Swedish group who we never heard of again?
They were last.
No, they were 8th.
Right, so you couldn't do last the first time. Because the next horse was first.
Yeah, they sing 83.
So they have an 83, 85. There's nobody. Well, John doesn't know, because he doesn't know anything for the last 10 years.
I don't. Eurovision stopped for me in 1976. So it's really terribly embarrassing.
Which is a bit lucky. We can tell Embargo were really good. Well, they were in rehearsals.
Yes.
Yes. Right. What are we doing for those chances? Then? This is a key
chance. Yeah, a bit difficult. Yeah, see, I would have said pretty high if they'd been much lower down the running order. I still think they might buck the trend and do quite well from going off first. But it's actually a little bit of a dull opener, isn't it? It's not the ideal way you want to start off the contest. I think you always need something really impressive and big and loud. I remember when the Dutch opened the contest, which was well over 10 years ago now, it sort of brought the level down. But it's a beautiful song. It's beautifully staged. I mean, just singing there when the earth rises behind him, I think it's really something special. But I'm not expecting a great position on the final board, I must be honest.
I think it is a big impressive opening because of the set, and I think it's utterly captivating, and I think it will suck people in because there are three good songs. Because, well, arguably it goes along with that, but it is a really good start to the contest.
Keith,
I would take chance. I had this in my top five before I actually came to Dusseldorf, and I thought it was really, really strong and would stand out, and I think it will, but it will stand out less at the start than it would do if it was surrounded by a non-number of up-tempo songs. There have only been a handful of songs that have won from the opening position. All of them have been up-tempo. No ballad that's been performed for us has really done very well at all. So I don't see this. I see it may go top 10. I probably don't see it in the top 5.
Okay, second song. Dino Marla Richards, Bosnia-Herzegovina. Dino didn't look happy when he threw out number 2, did he?
No, Paul. No, I mean, having to go first in the semi and then the death slotting in the final, I mean, you can't get much worse, can you? I'm very offended by Dino, because he claims to be the same age as me, which I think is a dreadful slur.
Well, like, can I say, John, that you're looking better than
Dino? Very much. I didn't know I was born in 1938. That's the rub.
And you know when Dino was born?
Well, he says 1962.
And you say?
I'd say 1962. 32.
So you were born in 32. Yes. Dino was born in 60. It's got to be 10.
I'd have a degree in 2000 or whatever. It would make a big difference for Dino.
Oh, I thought he was about 60. So when I heard he was claiming 48, I was absolutely gobsmacked.
So we're not rating his chances then?
No, not at all. I mean, I really actually do like the song very much because it's very old-fashioned. It's very 70s Eurovision. And for that, I have nostalgic feeling for it. But no, I think he's well down the tubes at this point.
Okay, Keith, lead us through Denmark. Bit anthemic. They've done a couple of changes in the last 30 seconds of this song during the 2 weeks here. Is it enough?
I don't think so. I think it's a great hook to this song. I personally don't like this run off the stage and run back onto the stage because it kind of ruins the rock feel of the song and makes it more of a showboating song. I could have seen this in the top five with a good draw. It comes after two reasonably similar type songs. No, I'm struggling to see it making the top 10, unfortunately.
I would love it. I absolutely love it. It's probably my second or third favourite. And they are cute as buttons as well. They're really going to get loads of interest because of what they look like. And the feedback I was getting last night on Facebook and Twitter, that's certainly the case. And I love it. It's anthemic. It's Andreas Dorn's song, and the song they never got to go to Eurovision with. I think it would probably do a bit that, maybe top 5.
Okay, we'll see how we get on with that. Lithuania, does anybody want to say anything about Lithuania? No? No?
She's great. Lithuania has roughly the same population density as Ireland and the same size as Ireland, so it's almost our Eastern European twin. We've won the Eurovision Song Contest 7 times. They've qualified for the final without ever reaching the top 10, bar the novelty song. We are the winners. This is not going to be in the top 10, and I would be surprised if any other song finished behind this other night.
Keith claims his title crown.
Songs 5, the excellence of the vocals, which was picked out on Tuesday night by people at home as being one of the few who could hold a tune.
And that's why I dropped the speed that, but it came late. late in the draw on Tuesday night, and now it's early in the draw, and it's got Austria, which is much more powerful and a much stronger song, and it has the French ballad later in the draw, so I think it's dead in the water, agreed.
Which is a shame, really, because there is something there. It's just two out of three, and as Maitland says, that ain't happening. Growing Eurovision. Okay, right then, running fifth, seventh, Hungary.
Well, I really like the Hungarian song, I have to be honest, but it's that sort of stomping Euro pop number. It's very sort of Kate Ryan, isn't it? And it's finally Kate Ryan's made the final. I'm just rather perturbed by the actual look of the lady in the presentation. I'll just be nice and say I think she's not got the right outfit, and I think she could have done with some help with the look. But I do like it. I mean, it's very good, but I think maybe, again, just too early, she's in one of the death shots.
It is nice to see Camilla Parker Bowles actually have a singing career.
Cruel. Very, very cruel, but not as cruel as the frock. The frock is absolutely appalling. It's as if somebody had an excess of blue material and just decided to wrap it around her.
Keith, Ireland is running sixth. Can you talk objectionably about it?
I think I can, because I this time last year, if you told me that Jenner were going to represent us in Eurovision, I would have been absolutely appalled. Then, once their names were mentioned, I knew they were going to be chosen. Then I heard the song, and I was going, you know what, this could be okay. I saw it last night. I thought it was brilliant. I think we're in with the best chance of winning the contest for a long time.
Objectionally, not objectively.
Raise your objections.
My objections would be that we've got a poor draw. We've got a read. Not so much what comes before us, but what comes after us.
Okay, over to John. When was the last time somebody won singing sixth?
1957.
Chris, who was that?
You lost me.
Corey Brockman. Okay. But there is a little bit of history here. It was in Germany.
Yes, and it was also a year where there was a returning champion come to defend the title.
My goodness, this is all very true. I must admit, as soon as I heard the draw, I mean, I'm convinced Jedward are going to win. I really am. But the draw has slightly pushed the ball in the opposite direction. I think it's going to be harder for them. I mean, we'll talk about who I think will win later on, but I just think it's going to do it. I really do.
Okay, Sweden are running seventh. The count for the special flight is currently 6 from 13. Chris, 7 from 14 or 6 from 14 in terms of the glass working?
To be honest, from my view last night, I thought it had failed again. So it was a big surprise. We agreed in our area that it didn't work. So it was a big surprise to come to the conference last night and say, hey, Chris, to be honest, saying that, you know, please, with the way it got off. And we looked at each other as if to say, well, it didn't break, did it? So it clearly wasn't as dramatic from the angle we saw as it was on Swedish TV in Melodifestivalen. But if that's what it was supposed to do, then fine.
Do you like the song?
See, that's it, isn't it? All we've been talking about is this damn piece of glass breaking. The song is actually my favourite of the whole 43 this year. But we've been so distracted by that little piece of glass. We've kind of forgotten to talk about what the song's like.
And, of course, the distraction also goes off to Eric as well.
Absolutely. I'm the absolute opposite end of the scale with Chris here. This is my least favourite of the 43 songs, and it's an absolutely appalling heap of rubbish. And the lyrics, even the opening two lines, are absolutely dreadful.
All that I can remember them is... Dum-dum-dum. Again, no,
I don't tell me that it's possible because I believe it's impossible, or vice versa, or some other
way. Hey, yeah, nonsense.
Absolutely.
What rhymes with possible? Oh, just stick impossible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's absolutely dreadful. The dance moves are very good. I think it looks great on screen. It doesn't sound particularly good. I don't think it's helped by coming after Ireland, and it doesn't help Ireland that it comes after Ireland. I don't see it in the top 10.
John, you're the tiebreaker.
I was astonished that he qualified. He was the only one to second it. Yeah, I mean, I got 9 right, and it's only Sweden that led you down for the other one. I had Israel. And I think, you know, people have been knocking on her international. We can say she can't sing. My goodness, talk about not being able to sing. Eric Starr sounds dreadful on screen.
In the jury scoring for the semi-final, if that video ever comes out, he is half a bit behind. The kid out there as well.
So flat. Absolutely dreadful.
We can only assume that there is a huge popular public vote out there.
Having said that, I don't dislike it as a song particularly. I just think it's badly performed, and I'm fascinated by he's going to hold his pants up in the night.
Hey, number 8 is Estonia. I'm going to say the first dress rehearsal yesterday, I think, is the first time that Gerhard has actually managed to sing this as competently as she did in the semi-finals of SCLB.
Yes, again,
and TVs from things that people have told me from home, because in the arena you just can't tell. A friend said, ropey vocals, but it's a great song. And it carries it through.
It's one of the most modern sounding songs, I think, that we have this year.
I think it's a very classic new pop type song, and it would fit as a natural successor to Linda's Victory last year. But again, it's impacted by the running order. It comes after Ireland and Sweden, who are also trying this modern contemporary pop song, and I think they made more impact on screen, and certainly they're better vocally than I've seen Jessa performing so far. Although Thursday night in the semi-final, I thought she was reasonably okay.
If you're going to make that comparison, I guess Estonia seems weak because Ireland and Sweden are very powerful songs. They're really punchy. They just seem a bit lame in comparison.
But there again, it also has a sort of quirky element. You know that the Western countries are going to look at this and go, it's bright and it's shiny, or it's not that nice.
It's colourful and the choreography is really good.
And it looks a bit like an anime mini place that men could possibly sleep in. So you might get the teenage boy.
See, that's really interesting because I really like it as a song, and I'd heard it so many times before I finally saw it. And as soon as I saw it, I just went in the opposite direction. I can't stand it. I think the presentation is so bizarre. And again, on the screen, when I heard her yesterday at the first rehearsal, she sounds dreadful. And I don't see what all the magic dancing around in the cities has got to do with this really good song. I think they've let it down dreadfully.
So, Greece. Great song or not, because Greece always says everybody's fighting over the microphone. Okay. Any meeny, miny, mo, let's get the person who's got a book. John.
I don't dislike this. I know that's not the popular thing to say this year. I wish they didn't have the rap. But if you ignore the rap, because it is painful, the rest of it's actually pretty good, and he's such a powerful performer. It's not going to win by any stretch, but I can see it doing much better than most people would like.
The rap's unnecessarily aggressive, I would say, looking at yesterday's first rehearsal. But I do love the dramatic Greekiness of it. That's the only
thing. Can Greece do top 10 with this one, Keith?
Yes, they can. Because it's ethnic, full-on ethnic. It's one of the few sub-ethnic songs left in the running at this stage. I think this could certainly be top 10 because the Greek diaspora will kick in to support it. And don't be surprised if it reaches the top 5. I think it's got a great draw because it comes after songs that are very pop and modern and cheerful, and this stands out.
We have Russia next with a 20-second fake out of Russian folk music. To be honest, I'd be interested to hear 3 minutes of that as well, because Sparrow's got quite a nice voice on it, and then it suddenly turns into this sort of tribute to Greece and the T-Birds and Greece Lightning, and
I don't know what that intro is doing there, because by the time you've heard the rest of the song, you've forgotten about that slow.
Okay, that's something that I don't really interrupt you. I was speaking to Alex about this, actually, asked why he changed the song and why he added this bit in Russia. He said because the songwriters are Swedish and the choreographer is designed by a Swede and the dancers are Swedish, he wanted something authentically Russian in the performance. So this bit of the song, sung in Russian, was tagged on at the start of the song. I think it's a waste of 30 seconds, but it doesn't kill the song by any stretch. But I think the bit when it really gets going, with the kick-in of the main part of the song, is brilliant in this. And for me, this is the best dance routine of the whole final.
There have been many times in Eurovision where you went, oh, that song's just run out of steam and it's got half a minute to go. Maybe the rest of the song only had 2 minutes 25 in it.
It still seems 3 minutes long. It is the upbeat bit of the song, I have to say, yeah.
Iron Maiden's Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, to me, feels about 2 minutes long, but it's actually just under 14 minutes. Your time can be stretched mentally when you're listening to music, and I think that's what happens with this one.
Having said that, I think this is Russia's weakest song in years.
Oh, no.
It's going to be top five.
No, this is probably one of Russia's more stronger songs, I think. It's got good appeal. Certainly, if
this is not the whoa, I'm coming to get you. It's a very interesting thing to be singing. So I think that's better than popping. I don't know you're going to say that.
Right then, France. How many opera fans are going to be watching Eurovision and voting for France?
Well, if they're watching in the UK, based on what we've seen, making stars of Paul Potts, Susan Boyle, Russell Watson, I think an awful lot of people are going to be watching and voting for this.
And Ravel's Bonheur.
And Ravel's Bonheur. I'm hoping for a last-minute appearance at Torvald and Dean. We never know. But I don't particularly like it. And I'm disappointed if it wins, even though I have a sneaky feeling it might, simply because we will never hear it again. It'll be Nocturne, it'll be Rock and Roll Kids, it'll be one of those songs that everybody hates, and it just disappears into the ether. And my fear of the future for Eurovision is that we have to have a global hit, and this will not be it. We can't keep talking on about Waterloo anymore. We've got 40 years now, and that's why I want to see something that's going to be number one in every country across Europe, and this will not be it.
Now that is, it's an interesting one, because one of the things about Eurovision is, and especially nowadays, is people can just go straight to iTunes and buy the music. You know, there is a spike. I mean, there's a huge amount of non-bells, and the charts on the week after Eurovision are incredibly skewed towards Eurovision. But what's interesting now is it's much more across the whole range of the Eurovision songs. It's not maybe just focused on the winner. And yes, I take the point of chart music, but chart music is really diminishing now. I think we have strong albums, strong personalities coming out, and Amuri would be a strong album, I suspect. You know, Paul Boss has done Europe hugely.
I've got to take that point. I think I can reinforce John's point here. I think that we need a lead single, and having an album seller is one thing, but we need to produce a hit song. And while I think this is the winner, I don't think it's going to be an international hit.
Quick digression then. Keith, what's the hit single in the 25?
Believe it or not, I think it's Jedward's Lipstick.
Okay. John, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, definitely. I think Amore could be the next Paul Potts. He could be the next Susan Boyle. And he could be a global superstar. But he'll be burying his appearance in Eurovision as soon as that takes off for him.
That's never happened before, has it? Do you want to pitch him in the hit single or not, or just kind of skip on to Italy?
It is Jedward, even though it's been a number two. It's not an order, so just had Lady Gaga, but it hasn't taken off in the UK yet, but it will. It's actually been available for 2 months, but because people weren't aware of no video, no promotion.
It's also only been available as a download because it's an album track. It's not been available as a single track, which means it hasn't actually been officially released as a single yet for the proper charts. Confused?
It's chart eligible if people were buying it.
Only if it's given a publishing number as a single.
No, that's true. Any album track can chart, and they do.
Yep, Chick is right here. Once it's available, it doesn't matter whether it's available as a single or an album track, it still would chart.
Lots of album tracks chart in the UK before the record companies actually want them to, because people buy them singly for this week of release.
They're never coming back. It's 2 weeks there, but there we go. We'll see what happens. Let's take the next in the running order. Jazz. Italy.
I love it. I'm delighted to see Italy back in the contest. It's not going to do very, very well. Jazz hasn't traditionally not fared well at Eurovision. Blues did reasonably well for Hungary a couple of years ago. But this is, it's that kind of Italian jazz. It's got its own little genre, because Italians loved jazz all the way going back to the 40s and 50s. And it's the latest incarnation of that kind of jazz. I think it's great to see it at Eurovision. I think it's great to see Italy back at Eurovision. I just don't see this picking up a lot of points.
I'm not sure. I really don't know what's going to happen to this one. My gut actually says it's going to do very, very well. It's going to be that one song that no one saw coming. But I won't be at all surprised if they're in the bottom five. I really don't have any clue what's really going to happen here. But it's so different, and it's so charming in a way, and it's very laid back. It's sort of the stripped-down version. But I can see it failing. I can see it doing well. It's definitely not winning.
Okay. We don't really have clear winners yet. It is an interesting year. There's lots of... I think we actually have a very strong year. It's just because there's so many songs that are so strong. Nothing standing out, so it gives the appearance that it's not a very good year. But come back in 3 months.
I think this is better than last year.
I don't think it's a great year, but it's better than last year.
Yes,
the modern year. I thought it was dreadful.
Yeah.
But this year is back to a reasonably good. But I just, apart from Lipstick and maybe one or two others, I don't see major hit singles coming out of this show.
And certainly, so it's not going to do the single charts very much, is it?
No, unfortunately, I love the song. I love the presentation of the song. I changed the dress, but that's the only difference I would make. I think it's a lovely, delightful little song. It comes at a dreadful time in the actual running order, because it comes after a break. And it has the high power stuff of the UK, Moldova and Germany coming after it. It's not going to do well, I think, but I love it.
On that subject, I don't know whether that has been put to bed by Tuesday, because both of the songs that appeared after breaks on Tuesday true. That's true.
Yeah, the end is different.
It doesn't kill them off, but obviously that's a different thing to us than being in the final, isn't it?
So I think we might have an article in the Average Arms to write over the summer.
Well, I agree with Keith on this one. It is a lovely song, and I was so thrilled to see Switzerland go through. I mean, but again, I'd rather they'd gone through with other songs that I've liked more in the past. That's a rather silly thing to say, but I do like it very much, but no, I can see this being lost.
Okay, United Kingdom. I'm just going to ask you for where you think they're going to finish in the final score table, rather than opinions on this one. There's been spoken a lot about it on the podcast, for that very reason. Jake, give it a placing.
I'm going to say about fourth or fifth. I think we'll be up there in the leaders, but
Keith, that's sort of not in the top 10, and if it's like the first rehearsal yesterday, possibly in the bottom 5.
John?
I have to say I agree with Keith. I'm actually very fearful now for the UK. I didn't see last night, but I did see yesterday afternoon's final, and I've never heard such an atrocity. I don't know if they were saving their voices. It didn't sound like it. It sounded like they were giving it their all, and it was just awful.
But even if they were saving their voices, the camera angle should have been working.
Yeah, I love Blue so much. I don't like their music, but I've just fallen in love with them because they're the nicest. Yes, I am. They're the nicest people I've met in Eurovision in years, and they've worked so hard. And the fact that they've put their name on the line for British Eurovision, they deserve a top 5 place. I've never liked the song. I think the last minute is just sound effects. And I'm very, very worried now based on what I saw in the rehearsals.
You made a very funny point about the camera angles in yesterday's first rehearsal. I don't know why they weren't right. It was very noticeable. There's a bit where Anthony sang a line and the camera's just on him. And Lee sings the next line and the camera remained on Anthony. So you heard Lee's voice off somewhere else. I don't know why that's not ready yet. But that's not the group's fault.
There's way too much of Anthony Castro on the song, and visually on the song.
Yeah, way too much.
That's not their fault. I still also think he's a bad omen that they're all wearing the same suit as Andy Abraham.
It's a dreadful suit. Again, it's this surplus of blue material somewhere. Hungary is using up some of it, and the BBC has obviously got to burn off some of their blue material.
James Fox.
But yeah, it is. It's James Fox, Andy Abraham. What do we do at Eurovision? Put them in a blue suit. It's been so successful.
I don't know. We'll get a band called Blue and put them in a blue suit.
And put all the staging in green, because blue and green are such complementary colours.
Indeed. Yes. If you're colourblind, you're going to really enjoy the UK.
I just like to inform the listeners what he's wearing. Green. But it's blue and green, so you can wear any colour as a blue jeans. I have you know, red and green.
Well, I'll also point out that it's radio for a reason. And my kilt is which...
I wonder if that's acceptable.
Yes, exactly. So there are options when you can wear blue and parade the fact that you have blue wrapped around you, but it's not at Eurovision. Moldova.
Germany, lucky.
Germany.
I love Moldova.
No, that went on the side of Belarus. You can't steal lyrics.
It's a kick up the bottom, isn't it, of the contest. And people are having parties love that kind of thing. I was very polite there.
Yes, you said bottom.
That was really lively and really good fun. And that the bit with the trumpets and all that is just brilliant when it goes
really well. Because every time you say bottom is brilliant, John rolls his eyes just like that. See?
I mean, I think there is a place for this in Eurovision always. I mean,
yeah, on the Tuesday.
Maybe.
No. I need variety. This is a real band. And I saw them do a real gig the other day. But they are very good. They are Red Hot Chili Peppers imitators, clearly. But they are good.
No, there will always be a place for this in Eurovision. I would have been sorry if there wasn't at least one in the final. But I absolutely hate it.
I'm with Jake on this one. I love the song. I love the lighting of the song. I love the excitement of the song. I think, because this is going to appeal to a younger demographic, and I think this is going to do a lot better than people thought. I could see this in the top 10.
I can't. It's not just younger people. We have a few 40-something friends who like going to see bands. They vote for these over Swedish Lager any day.
I think this is top 10 as well. I mean, there's
no, absolutely, I say top 10.
Definitely. Okay, top 10.
No, I've said that all along. I mean, I want to say to you, why have you put them into your top 10 for the qualifiers? And not only are they qualifying, maybe they'll be in the top 10 on Saturday.
Okay, Germany. Is Nina going to be doing this next year?
She won't be doing this next year, but she could win this year. I wasn't a fan of last year's entry. I really, really warmed to Taken by a Stranger when I saw it on cameras in the early rehearsals. and it's getting better and better.
Yes, I like it a lot. I didn't like satellite either, and I'm still stunned when it won. I just couldn't see how it happened. What's interesting is that she won with this very stripped down, very basic song, but this year she's gone in the choreography direction. It's all very carefully staged. But it works. It works very, very well.
Lena also has another advantage, which I actually pointed out on our podcast after the final last year, which was Lena gets to open the show. Now, it's been mitigated very slightly with Stefan Raab's big Brian Seltzer clone band, but Lena still pops up on stage with this lovely version of stuff like the last image you have is her going, "Oh, I'm glad, you know, I enjoyed it." And then she regenerates into Billy Piper and comes back and does her song.
I think it's very wrong. I think if she was in the competition, she should not be given the status of previous winner.
I would agree. The song can be performed and should have been performed by other people.
They get to have their cake and eat it, don't they? Because at the beginning, without giving too much away of tonight's show, they say that she's too busy preparing to perform.
And then she pops up as if to say,
I don't think she can win, to be really honest, but she will finish quite high. But to your point, if Stefan Raab says she's coming back next year, she'll be coming back next year.
Yes, and if Stefan Raab wants to give us free coffee next year, Stefan Raab will give us free coffee next year.
I saw her saying she won't. Fairly sure she's not.
Actually, to be perfectly honest, I was next to the Drag from Belgium TV on the catwalk, and she said she wouldn't do it again. We do have that on tape, and we'll be digging that out in a little over 18 hours' time, more than likely. Right then, Romania. Oh, did I film? I know my name's David, but I'm singing for Romania. Do you think I can win Eurovision?
It's lovely to have you two UK entries.
He's
really because I'm a claiming Jedward.
I know you're claiming Jedward. I can't get over this. I'm really claiming one third of a three-piece band and saying it was from the UK. Really not fair, boys. The days of Empire are over.
Let's be fair. They had to do this the other way. There were problems 2 years ago when David tried to enter the Romanian national final on his own and he was told he wasn't Romanian enough. So he got his two best friends, Hotel and so his band was slightly more Romanian than English, so they could round it up.
Fine, but the other guys do make a major input into the song.
They have on the piano. They have Jeremy Clarkson on drums, and they've got a little Romanian.
Frightening.
It is.
But it's very good.
And it's all very cut. And I think it's the only song where the audience are encouraged to clap as opposed to wave your flag.
Yes, possibly.
And it takes 17 songs before you get a clappy song.
Yeah. I think it's good. I just don't see it as strong enough for people to pick up the votes and vote for it as their favourite song.
Okay, so let's try this in a different question. Do you think it will be the highest British-placed song?
If it depends on whether you're counting Jedward or not.
No, Jedward's all right.
And will it finish higher than Blue? Yes, I think it will.
That was a Danish song.
that's actually true.
The Danes have run the Irish Euro song for however many years.
I don't think it will finish above Blue, but having said that, the moment I heard it, and I was one of the first ones picked, I did think it might win. It's people say it's old-fashioned, I don't know whether that matters. It's just very happy copying.
Larry's very old-fashioned, I still love it.
Yeah, it's got a very positive, uplifting lyric, and he looks great. He can really belt it out. There's been no problems with his vocals, so all in all, it's positive.
Johnny, the director.
I think it's lovely. I really
do. Yes, it will be above the list. There we go, two for one. It'll be 3-4 because I suspect it will as well. Austria must be really, really glad at the result that they've got. She was in slot 2, which isn't as much of a dead in the semi-finals as it is in the finals. But they've drawn 8th. It's drawn 18th. It's in a reasonably good position to push for victory, isn't it, John?
It's in a very good position, and I have liked this song from first hearing, and I think she has an amazing voice. I'm not seeing it as a real contender, though. I'm probably just putting it down to the fact that it's Austria. They've sent great stuff in the past and always sort of gone belly up. Maybe this would be the year, I don't know. She's in a very good part of the draw. It's a great song. I wish she wasn't wearing that wig.
It's not a wig.
It is a wig.
It's a very good wig if she never takes it off. Having said that, yesterday evening I was with her in the canteen in the press working area, and she did have a little hat on, and I wasn't able to see what was on underneath the wig. There's a bit of a scoop there.
I think she was from Glenfellan's people. Right.
Possibly not.
Has experience.
Right. Okay, then. I think this is a dark horse. horse and a real one to watch. I think this could win.
It's great because we have Hungary. We have indeed doing a little bit of Liza Minnelli. You know, we have Lithuania doing a little bit of Mecha Streisand. We've got all the gay cliches coming. All we need now is somebody to do Dusty Springfield. Maybe we'll come to that later. Right then.
Yes, I've thought of that.
Yes, Azerbaijan.
Are we also going to say Austria was 25-1 yesterday afternoon, which I think is...
It's 98-1 now, which is quite
a lot of money.
Actually, there's a lot of money all told. Betfair and Australia this week have a trade total of about $1 million. They're up to about $2.5 million now. So there is
must be the biggest non-sporting betting market there is.
I think Harry to cook up the royal wedding and say something at the point where would any man ever want, man or woman, object to this marriage? I think that was a bigger market because everybody bet that Harry would cough or do something. And yet he just did pepper. No, he didn't. He did not get shot for that. Right then, where are we? Azerbaijan. Are we going to Azerbaijan? I know what John's going to say. John's going to go, yes. I believe we've always been going to Azerbaijan since I first heard it.
Well, I have. I mean, I can't...
Since 2008.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
No, I their first song in Belgrade, I thought was the worst song in Eurovision I'd ever heard. I mean, everyone was saying, oh, it's going to be in the top 10. I was disgusted. Then they came back with a song that I absolutely love. Last year, I didn't really like the song at all, but I could see its potential, and I still maintain she only slipped to fifth because she had to go first. If she'd been on the bottom five, I don't think we'd be sitting in here now. But that's just, you know, random opinion. I do like this song. They can't sing. Let's not make any bones about it. But it does work.
I'd like to make a bone about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's sort of fair to say they both can't sing. I think he has a fine voice. I don't think she is the strongest singer.
I mean, I just think it works. It looks very good. Even the age gap, even all the jokes about that, it's beautifully staged, the golden sort of white shimmer behind them and everything. And I think the draw has really helped them out.
Do you know what really helped them out? Turkey not qualified.
Absolutely. The Turkish, the Armenian diaspora votes are all going to go in Azerbaijan's direction. Yes, I do believe the Armenian ones will. Sorry. And I think it's going to do extremely well. I can only see France or Ireland topping this.
I watched that very long, drawn-out Azerbaijan final, and he really, really can sing, which is why I think the behind-the-scenes people took so long in deciding what they're going to do, because if you believe the way these things work, she was penciled in as the winner, and he was clearly too good to ignore, so that's why they decided to do a duet.
Yeah, the story that I heard was that her people had the money, and the broadcasting company didn't think that she was strong enough to carry a song on her own,
so she got to go to Eurovision with the backup that he would join her.
Yeah.
And if you watched the programme, you kind of got the impression that discussion was happening in the 15 minutes when they were on air waiting for the results to be declared.
Wouldn't be the first time, wouldn't be the last time that the national final has changed the rules halfway through.
Our song is very flat for me. It's nice, but when was nice ever good enough? That's very bland for me.
Oh, well, that's a stat question. John, when was the last time that nice song won Eurovision?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's all about personal opinion. That's not something you can be objective about. That's completely subjective. I agree with Chris what you say. It is a sort of slightly monotonous in a way, and it is bland, but bland in a good way, if that makes any sense at all.
Quite bad music. Dark Horse is coming up now. Slovenia. I'm putting this down as a Dark Horse top five with the potential for the victory.
No, not at all. I think that the look is awful, the dress and the boots are just ghastly. I didn't like it at all. I'm usually quite a favourite from the foreign languages, but I didn't like it in the original. I do like it in English, and I think that has helped a lot, and she certainly can sing. But it's a bit too screechy towards the end to win.
I would tend to agree. Now, I disagree on the boots. Not because of my own opinion of women's boots, but any woman that I've spoken to, either Euro people that are feeling it, say that they are the best pair of boots that they've seen for a long time. So she may get the female...
She's getting the female heterosexual
vote. Yes. I think it's very pleasant. I think it's a Christina Aguilera. It's kind of a pale Christina Aguilera. She's had a very good draw here. She can certainly sing. I just don't think it's special enough.
Iceland, Chris.
I see this as a favourite, but yesterday afternoon on Boyle Sports, this was 125-1. I feel like putting my house on an each-way bet.
Would you get really upset if I told you I got it at 400-1?
Oh dear. That's astonishing, considering how good it is and how late it
is. It's not, because betting, especially for the first, leading into the contest, is by fans, and every fan has kind of had, oh, it only won because of the backstory. And if that was true, Music wouldn't have been here, Blitz would have been here instead. So, I think that's why
the audience is very honest.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now that people are looking at this and listening, you're watching this belly just come in, because it's the only song that's consistently coming in.
Very direct.
It's back to 40-1. It's back to 40-1 now, last I checked. I suspect we're going to have this one bottom out about 10 or 11 to 1 come the final. And it's still valued. It still has a very tough draw. It's a very tough contest. But there's just something in this song.
There's two things that I think are going against it. It has to try and feature six singing performers, and that's almost impossible to do properly on camera. And secondly, I'm not sure this is going to play well into Eastern Europe. So I think it's still a reasonably good value each way you bet, but it's not a winner.
I think it's a kind of sing-along in a bar song that's going to be popular in any country. I don't see that as being an Eastern Western thing. I don't think there's anything particularly Icelandic about it.
Yeah, but if it's a sing-along in a bar, I think everybody should be able to sing along in the chorus, and I'm not sure everybody is, even if I went around the table, I'm not sure everybody could sing along.
Yeah, that's supposed to be true. I don't really know about this one. I like it, but I'm just not persuaded of its merits one way or the other, sorry. Okay, Spain. I think this, Keith, you've put this one down as your dark horse.
Yes, it's my dark horse. It's this, apart from Lithuania, there is no song with longer odds to win this contest.
No, it's the dark horse.
I don't see it as the winner, let me say that now, first of all. But I do see this doing a lot better than people think. It's very well performed. She looks down the camera, delivers the song perfectly. The dance movement is instant and catchy. People who have been to Spain and have had a knees up will love it. People who are a little tipsy at a party, it's an up-tempo song late in the draw, will vote for it. I think this could be top 10, and at 250-1, it's the best each way bet I've seen in the market.
Ukraine. Sand lately distracts you from the song. Congratulations. Four people in Ukraine voted for this, but they voted £5 million each. So if you knocked everybody else in the national final, they can't pull that trick again.
I just don't get it. I mean, it's not that I don't like the song, it's just what on earth is she wearing? You're completely distracted.
I'm sure it is. This is what called an angel. This is what's called an angel.
You're completely distracted by what's going on behind her, and it looks like a tapeworm sort of working around the screen, and you can't take your eyes off that. And it totally distracts from what is actually quite a good song.
And then we move to Heidi Springfield. It's a little... Oh,
well, I think so. What a Christmas.
I think the sand artist makes it captivating, and I didn't get Ukraine's song last year. With this place in the draw, I can see this being top five now. I think it's a televisional treat.
And you did the time travel to go back to talk about this one. We were going to talk about the Serbian songs, no time travel back the way. Okay, yes. Dusty Springfield, but we have to do Dusty for the comedy callback earlier in the show, you see, John.
Honestly, well, it's a little bit Dusty. It's much more Puppet than Dusty.
And it's Silver Black, if you remember, early Silver Black, of course, nobody here is old enough to remember it.
Ah, see, I've got copies of From the Mouth of My Silver Black, because it's cooking soon.
Okay, I'd like to do that. And she's got blonde hair, her Silver was never blonde. But all the various incarnations of Silver Blondes, there's Silver Blacks here, she was never blonde.
But it is, I just wish that Stefan Rob's orchestra was still lurking in the back, and we had a little, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I just hear my head.
Right. Serbia is fabulous. It's a 60s pastiche. She is brilliant. It has the best break in terms of the dance and the break. I've seen it Eurovision for years and years. She's had a great draw. I think it could do very, very well, but again, I don't see it as a winner.
If you took the English version of this song, could that be your big Eurovision hit?
It could be, actually. It could be. It's one of the few songs that's better in English than it is the national language. And the English version of it is very strong. And if I had my say, they would do it in a bilingual way.
It's Serbia. Oh, which one?
It's Serbia. I do love it, but I still wonder if it's catchy enough because I have trouble remembering what the tune to it is now. But maybe that's because I can't sing the lyrics.
Going to sing it to you.
Well, I'm not, because I can't remember it either. But I do like it.
because I like that piece. I'm a huge Lulu Dusty Sandy fan, but I think the staging is so brilliant. Keith's absolutely right. What those three girls in the back are doing is mesmerizing. They are so brilliant.
Have we seen the success of someone like Matt Men, the old fashioned
wonderful Austin Powers cyclorama going on behind her. I'm not sure about a win, I must admit, but I will not be surprised if it does. And again, I'm usually in favour of the language thing, but she has missed a trick by not doing it in English.
We'll move on to Georgia now. This is a personal favourite of mine. There's a surprise. Actually, it was really glad that this came through instead of Turkey. It's the only metal, new metal, hardcore, rap, Greek, Tabarobatimba genre that you have. I really like it. I think it's an eye-opening closer for the show. It's not what people would think is typical Eurovision, and I think that's one of its strengths.
I absolutely loathe and detest it. I think it's 3 minutes of noise. Yesterday afternoon, when we were watching the dress rehearsal, the alarms went off in the press working area because somebody was smoking in the toilets, and I was going, it's a sign from God. The sound of the alarm is more musical than the Georgian entry. Please, this is the worst song to finish Eurovision Song Contest for many, many years.
No, it's not. It's kick-ass brilliant.
Yes!
And I love the fact that we start with a quiet song and we end with the loud one. It's the loudest, and we've got everything else in between.
Indeed, full power through the window leaves, that's what I say.
Logic to that, yeah.
Is she wearing the cushion again tonight on the front of the dress? We will have to say, I absolutely loathe this with a passion.
It's just I love the music, I love the clothes, I love the backdrop. It's just brilliantly dark.
I never think I'm particularly influential, but when I wrote on Facebook that I need to get rid of the lead singer the next day she was gone, I thought, well,
this is amazing. This is one of the few acts, you know, most of the people are using the LCD screens as a screen. A couple of them are integrating it into a stage show. And when you look at this on television, it doesn't look like a screen anymore. It actually gives them the architecture. It gives them that gothic element. It creates an entire feeling and meme around the song, the band, and the presentation. It all links together. A lot of people say, wasn't it great when the Greek song finally got the rap and the song kind of meshed together? Georgia had that from the off. The thing that I love about this, and it's an incredibly personal thing, is I walked in on Sunday, 1st of May, and the first rehearsal I saw was Georgia. And the last that I'm going to see is Georgia. And I'd love it. See the credits rolling on it
because like that is
not going to happen.
That's just not going to happen. It's like it's being performed in the Gothic church, and I think that's quite impressive.
I'm going to say now that one thing I don't want to completely discharge others from the best party of the week, in my opinion. So, in fairness, they do deserve notice for that brilliant party. That's the dancing kids.
I'm sure it was great if you were allowed in.
Right, then, so let me go.
Not better.
We have a pretty strong field. I don't think we have anybody that can do, is clearly going to do a runaway, I know Francis. We'll do top three from the panel.
Can I just make a comment on something that's happened in the semi-finals?
Oh, yes, you can. Isn't that long telephoto lens onto Yomel? Is that
right? No. We've had a complete purge of languages, and that's been really noticeable. We've lost 6 or 7 languages, and we've ended up with 22 songs, mainly in English, plus a Corsican one, a Serbian one, and a Spanish one, and that's it.
It's the most English Eurovision song contest ever,
and I just think that's a shame.
How did Flying with Robot?
Well, last year was the first time ever the top 7 were all in English. It had never gone beyond the top 4, I think, before then, maybe top 5. So this English thing is just getting more and more. I think it's a shame. I really do.
Yeah. We have topics, though, now to talk about over the summer in the podcast. They will be continuing at www.esinsight.com. But for now, let's have a guess at your top 3, but in no particular order, unless you particularly want to. Keith, let's go to you first on that one.
I can take 2 quite easily, so I'm going to say France and Ireland in there. And for the 3rd, I would probably put Germany.
My opinion on this changes every minute, and I find myself agreeing with everything that anybody else says, and then just looking at the list again and picking a completely different 3. But, I also think France and Ireland, and if I had to pick a 3rd, Finland.
Don?
I'm confused. We're saying what we think the top of 3 songs, or my personal 3. What you think the top 3? obviously, I don't think Ireland and France will be in the top three. It'll be one or the other. I still have a gut that Azerbaijan are going to win. With the Tories, we spend so much time here and we hear them so often, I have to go back to my original gut feeling, and that was Azerbaijan. But now I'm here, I think it's going to be Jedward.
Ireland, Azerbaijan, and
as a Tory, or Romania, actually. But not to win, but they might flesh out the top three.
I'm struggling. I can anyway, need to burn three from four. So I'm going to knock Austria down to fourth, which leaves me with the top three of France, Serbia, or Slovenia.
The ambulance has just arrived.
That's fine, because I can listen to the Georgia track on the way in.
I want to ask, just to end this podcast,
and to end the game of Jackshot.
No, is it? Well, I want to ask a question of Mr. Keith, because I want to know why he didn't do the fabulous picture quiz this year.
That is true. I didn't. I had the page designed and I left it on my computer at home with the intention of launching it while I was here. So rather than going out and trying to find the 20 pictures all over again, I decided I'm going to launch it after I get back this year. And I'm still going to give the same prize as I do normally, which is a copy of the Eurovision DVD. And this year, people could also choose the Eurovision Blu-ray as well.
And if you don't want it, you can click on the link at the bottom of the show notes back on the website. It's an Amazon affiliate link, and we get, I think, 9p for everyone that you buy through Amazon through EDC Insight, and you can support us in trying to get a flight and a hotel out to Azerbaijan next year.
Or
Paris. Well, if it's in Paris, we're sorted. We're fine on that one.
Excellent.
And it reminds me to say thank you to my pals who will have predicted horribly incorrectly by the time tonight comes around. Thank you very much to Chris.
Thank you.
And you can plug your website for anything you like.
Astute.co.uk.
There we go.
And now before this slide down the page.
Hey, thank you very much also to Keith Mills.
Thank you very much, you and I, from all kinds of everything.ie, the Irish Eurovision website.
And thank you very much to Jordan Kennedy O'Connor, the man behind the book 50 Years of the Eurovision Song Contest and Visual History. And we'll add in the rest of the years as well as a little bonus feature, but we won't actually ask John to take any more money for it because it's in the contract that Bob McCarroll House made him sign many years ago.
O'Connor! Well, thank you very much indeed. I don't really know what to say.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And John, I've got escinsight.com.
Indeed, yes. We have apparently official blue stalker.
Apparently,
yes. So, John, you're going to have the honour here. You need the microphone. We are going to have a lunchtime chat show tomorrow, as I said, coming from the departure flight of Düsseldorf Airport, assuming that there aren't any German regulations about lots of Scots doing the podcast. But for now, thank you very much for you all out there listening to Breakfast Chat Shows. It's been a delight to run and read all your feedback. We will have a downloadable commentary for tonight's final. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/EU, and we're providing insights, jokes, and pointing out Stefan Rapp's delightfully curvy teeth. But for now, only one thing remains to be said. We're going to end the show on John. We end the show with electric guitars. Every podcast we've done, almost 100 of them. They all affiliate.
Listen to one.
Would you listen to
them? Yes, of course I would, darling. I know what you're talking about.
Just shout electric guitar.
Electric guitar.
Thank you.